my honor to introduce our speaker today. Kathleen is an award-winning motivational speaker, workshop facilitator, and also provides individual life coaching. She has spent the past 20 years working with the human energy system as a Reiki master and therapeutic healing touch practitioner, engaging the complex energy characteristics of the human body to assist others in finding balance and answers within themselves. Her workshops assist others in eliminating erroneous self-doubts and beliefs to become more productive, focused, and happy in every element of their lives. After an extraordinarily difficult beginning and adoption into a highly abusive environment, Kathleen found herself on a precipice deciding to end her own life at 18. A miracle occurred on her 18th Christmas that changed everything. Because she was given the gift of a miracle that allowed her to make a life-altering choice, she set out into the world to begin a new life. But as she went along, health issues began to haunt her. With dogged determination to heal and improve her own life, she immersed herself in scientific and spiritual research, finding amazing discoveries that have literally lifted her from the depths of despair and struggle into a life of joy, fulfillment, and abundance. She knows these revelations are highly instrumental to our well-being and has decided to share her experiences with the world to encourage others that there is hope for a better tomorrow. She believes that if sharing her story can help change the life of just one person, the journey has been well worth the taking. Kathleen lives in beautiful Bayview, Idaho, on the southern tip of Lake Pend'Oreille with her husband of 30 years. For more information about her workshop, her workshops and coaching practice can be obtained by contacting her at tkellis@roadrunner.com. Please join me in welcoming Kathy.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. How are you today? It is such a joyful time here, and the energy in this space and the energy of all of you is just overwhelming. I have been enjoying the service so far, and it's like you chose everything you've done today for me. But then there's only one of us in the room. All of us are a single cell of that universal force that I call God. You may call it universal intelligence, you may call it something else. But all of us are part of that same energy. I noticed when we started the service today, there was a quote up on the board, and it talked about being a candle in the darkness. I have to tell you, my world began in the deepest, darkest space I could ever imagine. 4 years ago, when I started to pick up my book and write again, and you'll shortly know why I put it aside, I was in meditation one morning, and this universal voice that I call God said to me, "You need to go back and start your book in the womb of your mother." And I said, "What? That doesn't make any sense. Why would I? Who wants to read about me growing in the womb of my mother? I mean, you know, we're out here in the world, we're all struggling day to day. We have all of these things that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. Who wants to hear about that?" And the voice said, "Trust me. I know what I'm doing. Trust me." I said, "Okay, I will." And so I went back, and I had already written my book. It was about three times as big as it is now. And I decided that I needed to start over. So I started writing. And what came out of that work has totally changed my life. And I hope that in sharing my story with you today, it will help you in some way. When I was conceived, I was the youngest of eight children. My mother had lost the first two at birth, The next three oldest had already been taken by social services. Our dad was just going to prison for abandoning his family. And my youngest brother and sister were a year and a half and 4 months old. My mother had been having babies every single year. And she was struggling already with what they didn't know then was postpartum depression. And losing the only livelihood in our home with my father going off to prison because he had a drinking problem and a money problem, and he spent a lot on himself and nothing on his family, much like a lot of the deadbeat dads of today, they put him in jail back then. And her whole world started crumbling. She started in the throes of severe depression. She was losing her touch with reality. She was having a complete mental and emotional breakdown, and I was growing in the womb. And that was the beginning of my world. It was a very dark, very sad, overwhelming place. And when I started to write about it, I realized why I had gone through all the things I've gone through in my life, because unless I experienced that kind of despair in my own life, I couldn't have written about it. But it also taught me something else. It taught me that every single cell of who we are has all the knowledge that we will ever need to conduct our lives. The purpose of our soul is to find the meaning in all those things. Because, and I have a favorite saying, it's, what happens to you shapes you. What you do with it defines you. And so I decided if I could survive all the throes of everything I went through, and I could go out and share my story with the world, then maybe there was one person whose life I could change for the better. When I was born, the rest of us were taken away from was put in a mental hospital and declared insane. That's what they did back then. We were put out for adoption and ended up getting adopted into an abusive alcoholic home. And the next 18 years of my life were unimaginable. I don't know how we survived. Well, I do know how we survived it, because we had the hand of God protecting us. And some children. And so I dedicate a portion of the proceeds from all my book sales to help abused and abandoned kids. But I realized by the time I was 18, my brother and sister, we were all, the youngest three were adopted into one family. They had escaped the abuse, and I was going through all of the abuse myself. I had been cut off from them. I had been cut off from the outside world. I was living in an environment that totally had me trapped in my house. I was afraid to even pick up the phone to ask somebody for help, because I was afraid my mom and dad would call and check on me and they'd find the line busy. So I ended up going into a severe depression just like my mother. But I didn't realize it at the time, because it was familiar to me. And I realized now that I had been depressed most of my life. And a few days before Christmas, I took a really severe beating from my dad. I'd been told my birth mom was dead. We were told we had older brothers and sisters, but we weren't allowed to find them because we'd be put in jail if we did. And so I felt like I had no options. And I decided after that beating that there was no reason for me to be here. Nobody loved me. I didn't have a soul on earth that loved me. And I decided that on Christmas morning, my gift to my parents would be suicide. Christmas Eve morning, I woke up. My parents had already gone to work. And I looked out the window, and it had snowed the night before. And everything was just pure white. And the sky was just as clear as a bell. It was so beautiful. And I had all of a sudden these angry tears just came running down my face. And I said, why is this happening to me? I don't want to die, but I don't know what to do. I didn't know God. He was only used in our home in expletives. And I really believed that evil lived where we did. I had no concept of a God. I don't remember much about the rest of that day at all. My mom came home from work about 3:30 in the afternoon, and as she walked through the kitchen where I was cleaning, she just handed me an envelope and kept on going. It was like, you know, it was like an automatic thing that she didn't even realize what she had done. And I didn't get mail. I'd been cut off from everybody. I had no idea what this envelope was. I looked at the return address on it, and it was from somewhere in Minnesota. I didn't know anybody in Minnesota. I lived in a little rural farm town called Pomeroy, Washington. I don't know if any of you know where it is, but it's a really small town. It's smaller than Bayview. And so I had no idea who this person would be. So I sat down at the kitchen table, and I opened up this envelope like it was a gift. I mean, somebody outside my house is finally contacting me. I opened it up gently, and I pulled it out, and it was a Christmas card. And inside the Christmas card, a picture fell out. And the card was signed simply, "Love, Mother." My birth mother really was alive. And she had reached out to me. I believe in the nick of time, through God's grace, she sent me that card because in less than 15 hours, I would be dead. She gave me birth not once, but twice. And I had every emotion a person could have. Every cell of my body was alive. And I realized suddenly that if there was one person in the world who loved me, I could make a whole new choice. I didn't have to die because one person in the world loved me. And so it took me a while, but in February, I walked out of that house and I never looked back. Never looked back because I believed that the world out there was a lot safer than the world I came from. And I never thought about it anymore. I just knew I was free. And I went on to live my life. I got married. I had a couple of children. I went to college for a little while and studied nursing, realized I was too emotional for a nursing profession. But I got married and had children and started having physical problems. And every time I'd go to the doctor, they'd tell me, "There's nothing wrong with you. We can't find anything physically wrong with you." I suffered migraine headaches. I suffered digestive problems. I had all these issues going on. And then I got to middle age, about 45, and I realized even though I was successful and I worked hard and I had a beautiful family, there was something missing. Something terribly wrong in my life, because I thought, is this all there is? And so I sought out the Lord. I had a really hard time with God at first because God to me was angry and vengeful. That's what a heavenly father was. That's what an earthly father was. So my association with a God was pretty scary. But when I finally found the Lord, I realized that everything in my life was changing. Suddenly, my spirit was alive. Everything was changing. Out here, everything seemed the same, but inside, everything was changing. And then all of a sudden, I lost my birth mom. I started losing other family members, and in 8 years, we lost 15 family members and 6 of our best friends. And I couldn't understand, if God was such a loving God, why did he do this to me? Why did he allow this to happen? Today I know why. Because God knew that in writing my book and telling my story, I could not even comprehend what my mother suffered when she lost her children, unless I experienced some losses myself. I had to be driven to my knees. My flask had to be entirely emptied in order for me to start over again. And so I decided I need to be a light in the darkness. I went to counseling. They diagnosed me with post-traumatic stress disorder from my childhood, depression, and anxiety. And I decided that I better take up meditation because I didn't want to take pills the rest of my life. But all of those issues were set in my cellular memory. They were part of who I am. We think that we conduct our lives solely from here. But every single cell of our body directs this organ and tells it what to do. So when I would find a situation that was similar to one of the negative situations I had as a child, it would generate a physical response. Because every cell of our bodies is part of our, what I call, our soul. That is part of who we are. That is part of that single cell of God. But we have taken in so much information in our lifetime that a lot of times what we see out here is an illusion. But we don't see it as illusion. We focus on this out here and we don't realize that the real person that we are is what's in here. This is what God drives. This is the best part of us. And if we can stay focused on the inside, we can deal with what's out here. When I got ready to publish my book, because I got a call that I could publish my book, and I was like, wow, this is really cool. And I thought, you know, I need to get some validation. I need to get some confirmation that what I've written is the right thing. And what I've written is going to help people. And in meditation one afternoon, I said, God, if I'm supposed to go forward with this, you really need to give me a sign. Because the title of my book was The Darkness Cannot Keep Us, Choosing a Better Tomorrow. Well, the next morning, the headline in my local newspaper was talking about a police officer in Coeur d'Alene who'd been shot. And the headline was, Choosing a Better Tomorrow. And I thought, what better confirmation could a person have? But you know how that self-doubt starts rising in all of us. We all doubt everything we do. I thought, you know, maybe I just need to go into Scripture and see if there's something I can find that will give me validation to. For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That was the first thing I opened to when I opened up my Bible. And I thought, wow, that's pretty good. That's, you know, he's constantly giving us affirmations every single day. How many of you have ever had a miracle happen in your life that you've been able to see? If we look back, even at the bad things in our lives, we have to be willing to see the perfection in whatever happened. I realized that if those things hadn't happened and my family hadn't brought me out here to Washington, I would have never met my husband. And he is the person who loved me enough that I could finally accept the Lord. He was the one man in my life who had so much love in his heart for me that I finally felt it was safe enough to love the Lord. What a gift. What a gift. So our responsibility is to love each other. You know, show each other. We get so caught up in stigmas and judgments, and we need to just be open and tell people you know, I appreciate where you're at in your life. I appreciate what you're doing. Keep trying. Choose better. Because the greatest gift in life God has given all of us is the power of choice, right? When I was finishing up the final edit on my book, they said to me, it might be nicer if you could put like a little quote at the beginning of each chapter, kind of appropriate to what that chapter is. And I got all the way through the book except for one chapter, and I thought, you know, I've put some really profound quotes in this book, but I need something from the Bible. And I was planning a trip back to South Dakota because I was going to speak at the college where I took my nursing class. And four times in 3 days, this scripture fell in my lap. You made my whole being. You formed me in my mother's body. I praise you because you made me in an amazing and wonderful way. What you have done is wonderful. I know this very well. You saw my bones being formed as I took shape in my mother's body. When I was put together there, you saw my body as it was formed. All the days planned for me were written in your book before I was one day old. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. I thought, wow, if this has fallen in my lap four times in three states, then I need to be putting this at the head of one of my chapters in the book. But I realized that, you know, God knows everything that we are. He knows everything that he has created in us, and all he asks us to do is believe it. We are so much more magnificent than we think we are. We just don't believe it. It's time to embrace it. It's time to say, I can be that light in the darkness, because if your light and your light, 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 and his light, and my light are all put together, think of what a beautiful room we could light up. We all think we're so separate, and we're not. We are so connected. We just don't feel it when we're in this heaviness that we call earth. We don't feel it when we're in that everyday, mundane existence that we have to fight certain things. We have that hope within us. We can choose a better tomorrow. What will you choose? Thank you.